Okay, so let me introduce you to our esteemed panel, and as I said, I am so excited because this is absolutely the first time that we have had elementary students, middle school students, and high school students, and also the first time that we've done this briefing where we have had students from three different states. Okay? So, going across the line here, Azan is from, I have it right here, is from Kenmore Middle School in Arlington, Virginia. Yeah. Brandy is also from Kenmore Middle School in Virginia. My friend Jack, who we have not met yet, but I'm thrilled to have you here, Jack, is from Townsend, Maryland, as is Sophia. And then Cece, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Cece? Cece is from Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, Glen Mills. Jill is from Washington Lee High School over here in Arlington, Virginia. I'm looking all the way down. It says James, but I think I'm supposed to call you JJ.
Yeah.
Okay. JJ is also from Washington Lee in Arlington. And then way, way down at the end, Wazzy?
Wasik.
Wazzy?
You can call me Waz if you want.
Waz, works for me, is also from Glen Mills of Pennsylvania. And I also would like to thank all of the wonderful educators and parents that are here with their children today. Okay, are we ready? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our panel a couple of questions, but then we're going to turn it over to you to have some of your questions answered as well. So, sort of starting right off, one of the things that I was really interested in from each one of you was this idea that we premiered here, this idea of social-based learning, the idea of untethered learning, the idea of using digital resources within your learning. So why don't we start sort of at the end and talk about this idea of using digital resources, whether it's media, video, music, whatever happens to be on your plate, shall we say, to help you with your learning. So do any of you have an example of how you've used some digital media to help you with learning? Brandy?
Well, we have the program Blackboard's really helpful. We've had a project before where we write a story and then we can post it on Blackboard and have student feedback. It really helps you with your writing because you have other opinions to help you with it from other students, so you can get a better grade after learning how to edit your writing and help it.
So you actually have other students that do some of the editing with you and give you their opinions. So kind of a social-based component of that as well. Some other examples? Jill? Yes.
Right. Well, we're actually here with our government teacher, and in his class, we have this class set of iPods that we use for educational purposes. This allows us pretty much at any time that someone might have a question no one really knows the answer to or any of that, that we're able to access the internet in class and be able to learn that way. We also have different things like an application of the Constitution and things. So we're actually, while it keeps us interested in what is going on in the class by, well, it's an iPod. I mean, using an iPod. But that way you're able to both learn and you stay interested in what you're learning.
Interesting interpretation.
In our school, in AP Physics, when we're learning ridiculous concepts, our teacher usually takes us to on YouTube, and we watch lectures from Walter Lewin, who is a professor at MIT, and we use that to supplement our learning, which tends to be really helpful sometimes.
That's interesting. I was actually up in Baltimore yesterday doing a focus group with a group of elementary students as well, and asked them about going to YouTube, and even the younger students said that they were going to YouTube to learn, but they were struggling in a math problem, they were actually going out to YouTube and seeing an example of someone else having done that. Though I know that many of our schools continue to block YouTube, and that students don't have that access. Yes,
Susan? I was going to say, along with what Wasik was saying, we're both in the same AP Physics class, so you always know when it's the day before a test because on Facebook, kids will be sending each other video, oh, check this out, this will help you understand this rotational inertia. So there's a lot of that where we just send each other videos all the time so we could figure out what's going on, so it definitely helps.
So it does endorse what we heard through the data about students using their social networking site
right. To
collaborate on projects. Okay. How about in terms of using smartphones, cell phones? We talked a little bit about using iPods. Jill shared that with us. Do any of you have a cell phone?
Yeah,
Yeah.
No, some do. Who has a cell phone? Some do. Okay. Does anybody have a smartphone? A BlackBerry or an...
Does an iTouch count?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. What do you think, you know, I shared some of the data here about how students are telling us that they'd like to be able to use a cell phone or a smartphone within instruction, within the school day, as part of their learning environment. Does anybody have any ideas on how you could do that or whether that would be a good or bad thing? Jack?
With the smartphones, you have access to the internet and other places within, like, other educational museum websites on there, that it gives you in a place where you can just go on and look up the stuff within your classes without having to have a computer nearby to go on, and you wouldn't have to, like, log on, and it would be quicker, faster way to get the information you needed.
And so you wish that you had that?
Yeah.
As part of, okay.
Just a clarification, it was an iTouch that we used.
Okay.
So.
Okay, good. Jack's point is interesting because it gets to that other concept that we were talking about productivity. About students actually, and I hear this all the time, students actually able to articulate the productivity benefits of technology, not just that it's fun and engaging. Some other examples? Do I have any other examples? No? Okay. Let's go on and talk a little bit. Have any of you taken an online class?
I've only taken an online class for a driver's education course, you know, to lower insurance rates. But I did that over this summer so I wouldn't have to waste some extra credits in high school doing a class. So I did that over the summer, and it was really easy, and it definitely, I had time. I would come back from swimming or something. I could come home, do the online course, get that done, and it just made it really convenient, and my parents were definitely happy I did it, so.
Do you have access to online classes through your high school? Are any of you interested in taking online classes?
I don't really take online classes. I usually do online tutorials. I've done Blender before, which is an animation program that I've used a couple times. And I've usually taken the time to use online tutorials, especially ones that are from Wikipedia pages. And this type of method is a very interesting way, and hopefully within the future we'll be able to use online courses as a way to communicate with teachers. And in fact, it would be a great idea if we'd be able to somehow merge online courses with real-life courses, so that way students who are sick or not being able to attend the class themselves would be able to look online as a way to figure out how to communicate with each other, and that way they don't have to lose out on a learning opportunity.
Mentioned the fact that we also have been polling students about the use of games within instruction, whether it is educational games or animations. JJ mentioned animation, as well as different simulations. Have any of you had any experience with using games? Sophia?
At our school, we use First in Math, which is a program with multiple games on measuring length, equal length, weight, and all sorts of measurement and multiplication and those things. And it helps us to memorize our facts and make sure we know what we're talking
about. Do you think that the particular game helps you in terms of learning?
Yeah. Some of
them. What do you like about the game?
It's nice because it keeps my attention and I don't have to... It's not. It keeps my attention, and I.
Keeping attention is good. That's an important thing. That's a good thing. Jack, did you have a concept?
On my own game system, I have a game. It's like an educational game, but it's silly. So it
is that the name of the game, or is that your value?
No, that's my value about it. Okay. It's silly enough that it still makes you learn, but it like gives you a grade in the end, and how like it tells you your grade makes you want to keep going on it and progress through it. So it keeps you practicing in like math and just like recognizing shapes and stuff like that. So it like keeps your attention and yet makes you laugh in a way.
Sounds like it's very engaging for you.
At our school, some of our teachers have actually created like flash games by themselves to quiz students. One of the old school things that we've done is Jeopardy. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, it creates like an atmosphere of competition among students too, because like, ha, I know that and you don't, like stuff like that. I mean, it's sort of like incentive to students.
I've played several educational games in my past. What I found because of those games were that we shouldn't use education as the main factor of educational games, which is counterintuitive. But what we should actually do in this case is to use education as a way to promote the games. For example, if you're able to play RPGs, or role-playing games, if some of you don't know the acronyms, there are those games that people do play, and people have made special equations for those games to actually improve themselves, and it's a better way to use the math in real life situations. So within that example, if someone could, especially with all these people around here, be able to make a game that not only incorporates education into it, but also incorporates fun and allows them to not only to have fun playing, but you know, use math or even chemistry or any type of subject. If they're able to use that as a way to add to the game.
And you know that, JJ, you're onto something. You know, quite often we'll hear from students that they wish that there were better games that hit many of the different subjects. Like, why can't we learn this in a game environment? Or why can't history be as compelling as a game in a different environment? I know that I've got a long list of questions, but I know that there are several people in the audience that are just itching to take a stab here at my wonderful expert panel. So do we have some folks that have some questions for the panel? Carla?
Well, I have a question, and I don't know if that the panel would really have the answer, so maybe just throwing it out. I mean, it just seems that all of the students are, you know, growing this facility to be able to use technology. They're very comfortable with it, and yet the education policy makers are kind of stuck on the traditional delivery system, and I guess I'm talking about the fact that we can't simplify math teachers in this country. You know, math and chemistry teachers, and I'm at the State Department of Ed in Maryland, where, you know, there are all these proposals where we'll pay them double the salary of an English teacher and all this, you know, kind of stuff to try to find people who will go into the field, and it seems to me that we ought to be using technology delivery in areas where we're having difficulty, foreign language in other areas where it's really difficult to find teachers, enough teachers going into it. So I'm just wondering when we do better our traditional approaches, especially in fields where there's huge demand and not enough teachers all around.
Have any of the students, this is a really interesting conversation, Darla, and I've actually moderated an online panel with students about this. Have any of you thought about how, if you were in charge, how you would better use technology within your school? Okay, Brandy?
In Kenmore, like, we're soon to have Chinese classes and we have Latin classes. Since we don't have, like, maybe enough teachers, they do podcasts of other lessons in other schools, where students can still learn even though the teacher is not in the room with them. So it makes everything a lot easier, and it's more efficient. It's just, you don't need as many teachers if you have a podcast coming from another lesson.
So I guess my question is, as a student,
Well, sure, it may not. Well, like, if an actual teacher's there, it might have caught. It might, like, the students might get easily distracted somehow at the podcast. But you still learn, and it makes things easier. Like, it seems some people just, like, pay more, with other people, they pay more attention to the screen rather than an actual teacher.
I think it was JJ.
Okay. At our school, I think we have several distance learning labs. We're able to use videos of other teachings. There are kind of several ways to improve on this. Number one, there is no way to actually replace a teacher. Teachers are always there to help you and guide you. However, it would be a pretty good idea to have these courses, especially distance learning courses, integrated, especially with online, so we'd have a more diverse learning. For example, there are some courses within several schools that aren't able to they actually have to be closed down because there are not enough students. However, instead of actually doing that, we should transform these courses into online courses like that.
Well, not really with the teachers, but with other students. I participate in studio to progress through our morning announcements in the morning. And sometimes we have technical difficulties. And when you get into fifth grade, because you do it for 2 years and you start in fourth grade, with fourth grade, it's more of a learning experience. But then in fifth grade, you kind of teach the people more, and you actually train third grade students in fourth grade and fifth grade. So while teaching them, it also helps you learn more to be able to do it. And after doing it for a lot, it kind of just gets stuck in your mind of how to do the stuff over and over, because you like do the job for a month and switch off, so it's diverse, yet you learn how to do it. And then it also helps you if you have other difficulties after learning how to do the stuff with other equipment. It makes it easier, I think, to operate on the computer.
But that builds on itself.
Yeah.
Well, at our high school, we have smart boards in every classroom. And what I've realized with a lot of the teachers, while there may be one or two of my teachers who seem really confident with them, seem to know everything about them, then there are the others who never seem to really get the concept of a smart board. That they're always trying to click random buttons to try to get something to work, and it doesn't work. And the students seem to know a lot more about it. I don't really know how that works, but I don't know. I guess after just seeing some teachers do it, they're always, oh, that's really interesting. I know how to do that now. So when they come to that teacher that really doesn't know how to do it, they're, well, you know what? I know. So that there's a lot of there with the students helping the teachers out of how to use smart boards.
It's almost like it goes by levels. Like, some of the more older teachers, like, you kind of have to help them, like, get the thing to, like, a full screen. Wherein, like, the younger teachers are, like, they're really into it, but then they kind of mess up the code for making their Flash game. And so, I've helped one of my teachers out in trying to figure out why his game was a little glitchy. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's almost intuitive to us because we've been, like, around it, so, like, 24/7.
I always love asking students that's a great question, though, about helping teachers. And I think sometimes our teachers think that the students don't really know how much they know or don't know, yet our students really do know. They
exactly where they
Internet safety. Have you had an education matting in your class in schools, or are you self-taught?
Brandon?
We just recently, maybe a month or 2 months ago, had a whole day based off internet safety and how to protect yourself with the internet. It's even though we do have a lot of students who probably aren't as aware of the safety, most of us are pretty safe while we're on the internet because we've had so many lessons, so many lectures about it. So we're pretty much aware of what's going on in the internet. Well, at least our parents try to make us aware of it. So, yeah.
Jack?
Since I came into my school through kindergarten, we have been using computers since we have three active computer labs, and since we started using the internet, the first thing we did was they took for a few weeks they took and it, there was this website that taught you called NetSmart. It taught you all about internet safety, and there were like games on it with just having like different silly characters on it to help you learn how to operate with the web and with email and like IMEI.
I know we have lots of questions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask one more question of our whole panel. Have everybody respond? And then Nick Atkinson from Smart Technology is going to say a few closing remarks, but then we'll say to anybody that wants to stay, can stay, and we can chat some more with you. Okay? So here's my question. If you had the opportunity to make one recommendation, and that might be to the president, it might be the Congress, it might be to the governor of your respective state, it might be to your school principal, about how to improve technology for learning that would best meet your needs, what would be that one recommendation that you would make? And we're going to start with Waz and go all the way down to Isaac. Okay? Mm-hmm. One, and be concise.
I guess more interactive technologies where, I guess because my whole thing with education is that I like to see connections and how what I'm learning is applied to real life. So I feel like if we can get a way to get interactive technology into our classroom where students can see, oh, this is why I'm learning this, and this is how it's used in everyday life, I feel like students will connect more and they would want to learn more, and I feel like that would probably be the best way to go.
Okay, great.
Collaboration and communication are my two big things, mostly because these two things are really, when you need to collaborate or communicate with teachers, it's something that you can't really do on your own. Or for example, when you have a question, you need to ask a teacher, it's best to collaborate. And of course, I can't really say much within this short amount of time, but really, with this software that's available, even including Google and Blackboard, but I haven't had a chance to use it in a while, I think that collaboration and communication with teachers and with students is the best way to go, especially when it comes to teamwork. And, of course, within the future, and I'm pretty sure this is right, people at work, I'm guessing, they do need to collaborate with people, and it's best to start them up right now instead of waiting till later.
Very good.
I would probably say being actually like interacting with what you're learning. I know that it's always been this thing of you're sitting in a class and you're getting lectured at by a teacher. And I feel like we could learn so much more out of everything, technology being what it is and all the advancements being made, that there can be so much done with it that we can actually be involved in the learning instead of just being talked to.
So being actively engaged as opposed to just being a receiver.
I think what we need is not necessarily more new types of technology and, you know, all these advancements. I think we need to refine what we have the older teachers get more educated with things so that they can help us and we're not necessarily always helping them. And also just have, like, websites catered to where we can look up this physics thing or this math concept. And I think different simulations on websites, like textbook websites, those help me more than doing something, collaborating with someone else or a particular technology game.
Everybody has a different perspective on this. Sophia, what do you think?
I think if there were more interactive things in the classroom, like we have a Promethean board, but sometimes that loses our attention too. And it would help to actually have something that we're doing on our own that we can do.
Okay. Great. Jack?
With the younger kids, their attention span isn't as long as the older kids. And then with something that just keeps going, with one thing that they might lose interest, but if something like the program keeps changing, and so that it's still fun, that students' attention span can stay with whatever they're learning instead of like just wandering off and not really paying attention.
Okay, again, with the interactive, we can't emphasize this enough, but just our attention spans might be terrible sometimes, but like just being able to be part of our own learning experiences, to think to ourselves that we help teach not only us, but the rest of our student body something, it really means a lot to a lot of students. You know, instead of just the teacher talking to us, we'd like to like be part of the lesson, help other people learn things, help ourselves learn things. It's just really helpful with, you know, all this learning experience.
Okay. I think it's a good idea to get teachers who are all about the traditional delivery of education, educate them on the technology that has been being used today, so it gets us engaged into the lesson, you know, as well as help them learn more about what technology is today and what they can teach to us in the future.
Wow, I think you'll agree with me. What an interesting and very thoughtful. What a fabulous scan, kind of right there from our elementary, middle school, and high school students. I'm going to have you guys all stay here for right now. I'm going to invite up one of my other best friends, Nick Atkinson, who's going to come up and give us a couple closing remarks. And then if you do want to stay and chat a little bit, I think we've got the room till 2, and then I think they're kicking us out. But
so two.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks, Julie. Thank you, everyone. Good afternoon. I know I'm getting in the way of talking to the students who have a lot more insight than we can imagine, and I won't spend too much time. My name is Mick Atkinson, and I'm the manager of education advocacy at Smart Technologies. As we saw in Julie's survey data today, the Speak Up data, our desires and expectations for technology in the classroom, students and parents, educators and administrators all agree, and we're all on the same page. When the parents were asked how important effective implementation of technology within instruction to our students' success, 83% of them answered that it was important or extremely important to their future and to their future success. Equally important, Julie's presentation showed that innovative, meaningful classroom technologies are just not a vision of the future, but they are here today, and they're in classrooms around the country. They're not nice-to-haves or someday extras, but they're necessities to be effective in education and to be competitive in the 21st century. As we talk about, and we heard from Karen, we also heard about access, the 24/7 access we saw in the student data that Julie presented and from some of the students about how access is becoming more important. We saw that in 6th to 12th graders in that survey, over 60% had access to a cell phone, 70% of them had access to a laptop or a personal computer at home, and 75% of them have access to interactive gaming systems. What's even more amazing is that in grades 3 through 5, those students are telling us, 60% of the students are telling us that they play video and online games. They're already becoming digital aware. They are aware and they're using technology every day, and they're at the home and outside the school. These students are more comfortable living with technology, and it's an integral part of their lives. Coming from a family of educators, I see firsthand how that technology in the classroom makes an immense difference of how teachers teach and how students learn. My wife is a teacher. She teaches in Federal Way, Washington. She sums up her experiences with using technology in the classroom in two words: transformative and efficient. Her students have a world of knowledge in the form of digital content, collaborative experiences, and internet access at their fingertips. Cami can streamline her lesson planning with the help of a large bank of digital lessons that she can get off the internet. She can plan, use multimedia resources, and collaborate with fellow teachers on lessons and tests throughout the day. She can save those lessons and use them with other teachers throughout her district and throughout the country. SMART promotes lifelong learning through education technology and provides resources and professional development and builds partnerships to advance learning opportunities. With all these resources, there's room for growth and the need to continue to adopt technology into the classrooms to ensure appropriate training, content and resources are continually available. We're dedicated to helping the education community overcome barriers by offering classroom solutions such as the Smart Board Interactive Whiteboard, the Smart Table and Interactive Learning Center for Early Childhood, content, lesson activities, professional development programs, and research opportunities. But most importantly, we bring the best education technology to the students and to the teachers' classrooms. We are driven by the desire to provide today's learners with the tools that will help them collaborate, solve problems, formulate questions, and find answers. The tools that they'll need to succeed and excel in the global marketplace. We're a proud sponsor of Speak Up 2009 survey and a powerful data that it provides us. Again, on behalf of Smart Technologies, we thank you for your interest today and hope you have some great interaction with the students. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, folks, for coming. Once again, this is first in the part of a series, so the next time will be the May 5th event that you have the flyer on. We'll be looking at the comparative teacher, administrator, and pre-service teacher data. Would you please join me one more time in thanking our wonderful panel?